That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lefondre looking to get close side of Font. Lefondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls preview podcast supported by Phantom Brewco. Well, we all know there's been a situation with the points deduction. That's on a different podcast that we're just releasing now. At some point, Alex should be putting it out, called 6 points down, question mark. I'm going through all the world of podcasting here. But this one is going to be all about Middlesbrough, the match. So we're not going to talk about that. If you want to hear about that, go and listen to that one. But it's just me and the magnificent man. That is James Earnshaw. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, apart from Reading FC. That's the bad bit, isn't it?
Get that printed on a T-shirt. I'm sure many would buy.
I'm sure they would, yeah. Oh, give me an idea. Get that up on the shop. I'm not giving you a percentage, though.
No royalties.
Yeah. Right, then. So you spoke to Paul Ince today, and let's focus on those injury updates, because that's what we've always have, haven't we, every single week.
Yeah, so the main one is the fear of a junior Hoylett. So it's 6 to 8 weeks with a hamstring, although he wasn't sure if it could signal the end of his season. He wasn't sort of too sure, but at least 6 to 8 weeks. So that's going to be a big old miss for a regular and who has been one of the most consistent performers this season. But I guess in better news, you've got Yeardom obviously coming back from suspension. Joe Lumley can't play, obviously, against his parent club. So it'll be Bouzanis in goal. Still no Ovie Ejaria, who's still struggling a bit with his knee. Nuka Zhao and Tom Holmes are back in training, but they've been out for 4 or 5 weeks, so I wouldn't expect to see them being thrown in at the deep end. And Liam Moore's now a magician, because he's now managed to turn around an injury, a season-ending injury, into a full week of training and maybe potentially involved in the coming weeks. So, you know, maybe that's a secondary career option he can look at after he retires.
It may be. Maybe, yeah, can go on stage. And, oh, my God, I'm going to talk about Paul Daniels here. You have no idea who that is, James, but it's one from way back. And you'll like this, but not a lot. But so there'll be some people who know what that means, but that's a niche joke there. I'm almost ashamed of it, but I'm not. But here we go then. So I did notice, I listened to a little bit of the Borough Breakdown podcast earlier this weekend, last weekend, and they're also doing our preview this week, and they're excellent. And Tom from their podcast said, oh, I'm really gutted that Lumley can't play. Because obviously their memories of him are really bad. But for us, I still think he'd probably be... I'm going to put myself out here. I'm going to say he's going to be in the top three for player of the season. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I was going to agree with you there. I mean, the winner is running away with it. Mm. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe Andy Carroll gets in at second for the impact he's made. For me, it's between Carroll and... Holmes or McIntyre for me in the top three. But Lumley, yeah, he's made a few mistakes. Every keeper does. But I don't think it helps having to face so many shots. Reading concede so many shots on goal. He's bound to concede, you know, every now and then. And he's especially sort of post-Christmas, I think he's really stepped up. And he's a shithouse. He doesn't have a shithouse. So he ticks a lot of the boxes for me. And you know, so what if other teams don't rate him? I mean, how many players have Reading had down the years that have excelled at Reading and have gone on to be not so good at other places? As long as he's good for us, it's what matters.
Yeah, I couldn't give a shit what other clubs think. Mm-hmm. I'm quite happy. As long as he does well for us, that's all I'm interested in. So, yeah, here we go then. Here's the prediction time. What are you going to say, James? Here's the moment of truth. What in miracle on what's been a crazy week?
Just got to remember, I got the exact score right last week. To a T.
No, no, to you. Hang on. If I could play a klaxon, I really would. Yep. But yeah, you're right.
Awooga. Yeah. 3-1. I got it right. Correct. Bang on.
Do you want to do that one again? Because I did enjoy that.
So I'm going for two. I'm going for two consecutive correct results. I'm going 1-0 Reading.
Wow.
I just think it's going to be so typically Reading to have such a crap week, but to back it up with some miraculous result on the pitch. So I'm going to go 1-0. Halfway to claiming back the 6 points.
It's well, that sounds great. This is late, but this is for your correct score prediction.
Hey, thank you.
You got it though. You got it right. And you do deserve a lot of credit for that. So you're saying 1-0. I've taken a lot less drugs than you today. So I'm going to say... I'd love to say that. I love to believe in it. And, oh, God. Yeah, yeah, all right. I was going to say some a lot more swearing, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go for 2-1 Reading. Why not? Yay. It's absolutely madness of a week. It seems insanity. And I don't believe it in any way or form. But let's try and create some positivity for us, Reading, because it's been a really difficult week. So thanks a lot for joining us, James. And after the break, we will be with the Borough Breakdown with Dana and Matt Lansley. And I've got to say, I've listened to it already, and it's excellent. So get involved with that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second part of today's preview, where we're obviously previewing the game against Borough at the weekend. We've now flipped over to the view from the opposition. And today, to preview Borough, we've got Dana from the Borough Breakdown. How are you doing, Dana?
Yeah, I'm not doing too badly, Matt. And yourself?
All good. All good apart from Reading FC at the moment. There's too much going on with Reading FC at the moment. There's never a dull day. Whenever we're out of the relegation scrap, we seem to be dragged back in by the club and the EFL and points deductions. But this section isn't about Reading FC. It's about Borough. So we're going to... Everyone's been bored to death already, probably, by everything that's happened over the last couple of days. So Borough at the moment... It's been, we were just talking before the podcast about the previous time when we played you guys back in August, the wonderful days when Reading FC were in a promotion fight up near the top of the table. We beat you guys 1-0. Since then, the change around has been quite majestic, it has to be said. Obviously, Borough sacking Chris Wilder, bringing in Michael Carrick, and the Carrick revolution is just... It's taken you from 21st, I think it was, when you took over, to third in the table.
Yeah, say that again, Matt, please. it's been brilliant. I think if you'd have told me in the reverse fixture or after the reverse fixture that Chris Wilder would have been sacked, then I'd have looked at you very strangely, because it felt like this season was gearing up to nothing but progression. You know, from last season, we were very close to getting that playoff place. We missed out on the final day. Obviously, we got beat quite heavily by Preston, but spirits were still very much high. And I thought that it was just kind of the natural progression from there is trending upwards. And unfortunately, it just completely... fell apart, and that was largely down to just broken pieces behind the scenes. Nothing was collegial. I think our head of football, Kieran Scott, basically came out and insinuated that there were a few fractious relationships behind the scenes that started because of rumours that Wilder was interested in the vacancy at Burnley, and it sort of just capitulated from there. You know, the season started with promise. We were playing well, we're not getting the results, and then it sort of turned into this mass confusion of what are we actually seeing here. And I remember going to Chris Wilder's final game in charge against Coventry, and just looked like we were taking massive backward steps, and that we just didn't look like the same team from last season. So that was very, very strange. But when it came out that Chris Wilder did get the sack, it was kind of like, well, you can't really argue with that. And then since Carrick's come in, he's just done everything and more that I ever expected. I really didn't think that he was going to do too much. I thought we'd have a lot of more teething issues, but we haven't. And we've just accelerated since. And it's crazy how much of an impact and a positive impact that he's made at this football club.
It's a nice place to be when your club is just consistently winning and all you can see or all you kind of think is that you can't see how you're going to lose this next game. There's been very few times when that's happened at Reading FC, but but it's a nice place when you're there. Kind of going back to Carrick's first game as well. It was interesting because it was a 2-1 loss to Preston. Carrick as well, after mentioned his press conference, obviously saying he knew it wasn't going to be a fairy tale or straightforward. But since that game, I mean, the form has been sensational. 13 games from the following 17, 13 in the 18 games that he's taken over. One of the big things, though, has been home form. Obviously played only 7 games, which seems a bit weird given that he took over in October, but 7 games at home, 6 wins, 1 draw, 4 goals conceded and 16 scored.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I know of the Riverside. When we got promoted under Ito Karanka, it was very much Fortress Riverside. And it's been like that quite, you know, that's been the theme of our successful campaigns or more successful campaigns. It's built on those solid foundations at home. And it's really good to see. I didn't actually realise that we've only conceded 4 at home. Obviously, a little bit more in all competitions because we conceded 5 in one game against Brighton. But, you know, our bounce back ability has been brilliant this season, that we can have a defeat like that. And I wouldn't really categorise it as a crushing defeat per se, because they're a fantastic team. And I think they went and beat Liverpool the very next game in the Premier League. But I think a good campaign is built on good home form. And if you can win your home games and then, you know, draw or win your away games, then it's the sign of a very good team. And it's what I love to see, you know, going to the Riverside and coming back with 3 points. It's, you know, I love Fortress Riverside.
Yeah, I mean, well, it keeps everyone happy, keeps the fans happy. But I mean, the play style as well under Carrick. It was a couple of weeks back. I saw a TikTok. Apologies for using the profanity of TikTok. I know some people hate it. But I saw a TikTok on basically the change in style that Carrick has brought. Everyone loves to liken styles to other managers. This one was likening it to kind of the Pep Guardiola kind of fullback way of play, basically, where the two fullbacks, it's Giles and Smith, I think, for Borough. Yeah. Always pushing up, overloading the midfield, leaves you a bit exposed at the back. But when you're going forwards, it just gives you an abundance of opportunities.
Yeah, and I think with Ryan Giles as well, it's really important to earmark Riley McGree, because he is playing in, I mean, he's situated as a left winger, but he's definitely not playing as one. He will tuck in, he'll come into those central areas, he'll play between the lines, which I think might be really important on Saturday's game, because I kind of do expect you to set up in a low block, and West Brom did that and they nullified Riley McGree. But he just allows Ryan Giles to have that left-hand side to himself, and he's got a fantastic delivery on him. Although I will say, his deliveries from open play and from set pieces of late have been a little bit under his usual standard, which, you know, the term wand of a left foot is only ever placed for a left footer, isn't it? You never hear wand of a right foot, do you? But he's got that. But I think that the sort of fluidity and movement is really good. And then, you know, Tommy Smith, as you mentioned, has really excelled. I don't think anybody expected him to be as good as he has been for us, but he's just allowed just things to be knitted together, really, in build out as well. You'll quite often see Stefan, if not playing into those central areas, he'll try to ping a ball out wide to the right hand side with Tommy Smith. So everything just seems to be really good at the moment, really complementary of each position and each player. And we're not really bound to our 4-2-3-1/4-3-3 formation. It is very fluid because of the movement that we have in the team. So it's really, really good to watch.
Yeah, well, I mean, the TikTok kind of put it in very good lights. I've seen a couple of the games from Borough this year as well. Standout, probably. You'll probably like going back to this game, Sheffield United away.
Mm.
I got a bit of stick from my friends group because that was the night of the Champions League. It was the Chelsea, I think it was Chelsea Borussia or something that night. And I was like, no, I don't want to watch that. I'm going to watch Sheffield United Borough because this is a really good game, in my opinion. I was so glad that I watched it because it was one of the best games of football I've watched in a while. And Borough obviously came out in that 3-1 winners.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'll always watch a Championship game over a Champions League game. I don't know what it is. It's just the Championship is one of a kind, isn't it, Matt? But yeah, that game was absolutely brilliant. And going into it, I really didn't expect that. We have been playing well, and we were playing well before that, but I really didn't expect us to go there. And they'd only lost 2 games at Bramall Lane before that. And so it's some feat to beat them. And we honestly, we played so well. We had to ride the storm the first like 10 minutes or so, but then when it clicked, it really clicked, and we played some wonderful football. And that was a really big statement making week for us, because we then went and beat QPR. And on that very weekend, Sheffield United got beat by Millwall. Obviously, things have changed slightly because we lost against West Brom and Sheffield United. They won against Watford, but it's just such an intriguing promotion race. And that game was a real statement of intent that we could compete with the second place team in this division, which, if you, you know, you remember, Michael Carrick took over Middlesbrough in 21st position. I would have never thought that back then. Even though we weren't playing terribly, I just never thought that we could compete and play at that level against a team like Sheffield United. So that was definitely the standout performance and win of the season so far.
It's just, well, Sheffield United are on kind of that edge of just being touchably close, but maybe just a bit too far away, because I think they also have a game in hand, and it's about 5-6 points. I think that
they've got
the
tough run, though.
Tough run. Doable, because yeah. I always look back to the Reading season when we were, we went on a second half of the season charge under Brian McDermott, and you know, I think we were 21st or 22nd after 5 games, and then ended up winning the championship. Anything can happen, you know. It's yeah. it's that kind of league. Sheffield still got to play Burnley, you know, so it's anything can happen. But kind of that game was just fantastic, I have to say. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Kind of looking the previous game, West Brom didn't quite work. 2-0 loss. What did West Brom do really in that game? If you're speaking to Paul Ince, what should he do to stop this Borough team?
Probably, yeah, set up in a low block and try to limit the space between the lines, because I think that's where Borough operate the best, with, you know, Riley McGree and then Chubrat Pom dropping deep as well as that withdrawn striker. You know what? I think 9 times out of 10, we can still breach a back line if they play with that low block because of our movement. Just didn't see it against West Brom. It was very strange. We weren't really stretching them as much. We weren't really sort of playing in behind or getting our key players on the ball as much, which I think was a lot down to Carlos Corbrand and the way that he set West Brom up. I think if any side or any manager can sort of out-tactic Michael Carrick the way that he's sort of projected so far at Middlesbrough, it's Carlos Corbrand, because he brought his Huddersfield team to the Riverside last season and did the exact same thing. So I think probably just to try to frustrate us as much as we can. I think Reading did do that last season, when we were playing under Chris Wilder, but then you tired towards the end of the game, and then Zaire Jones did what Zaire Jones was doing back then.
you had to bring those terrible memories flooding back. Me and Alex went to that game, and we were happy for about 75 minutes. Andy Carroll scored as well against Borough, which he seemed to love as he does as a Geordie. I will just never forget that final 4th minute or something. Alex was next to me. Ethan Bristow was the left back, and he pretty much said what was going to happen, got beaten on the outside. The ball came in, and Crooks with the head. He got both, I think, that day as well.
He did. I've recently called Matt Crooks the clutch man, because he always comes up with those big moments for us. But he did then. And to be fair, credit to you, because I thought that for the majority of that game, you defended really well and you were well in it. But obviously, we unlocked the door in the end.
And it was just a hallmark of January 2022 for Reading FC. That was our worst. I think it was statistically our worst month ever.
Oh wow!
We'd conceded something ridiculous like 30 goals in that month, and yeah, the less said about that month, the better. To be honest,
yeah, we won't talk about that.
But kind of moving on to players, a couple of players who've really stood out. You probably know who we're going to go on to right now. You mentioned him just then as well, Chubrat Pom. I nearly got it wrong there. I always do names. Since Carrick has come in, 15 goals in 18, I think it is. And he's not even playing as a natural number 9, is he? I think he's playing as the number 10, almost behind, I think it's Archer that's normally in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know what? I think it's probably one of the biggest success stories of Michael Carrick's reign so far, because he saw something in Chubrakpom to play him in that withdrawn position. And he's always been a talented striker that's never, ever fulfilled his potential. And it's taken until now for him to do so. You know, previous to this, he'd only scored 12 goals in English football. So the fact that he's one away from 20 in the league is crazy for him and crazy for Borough as well, because we haven't had this since the days of Bernie Slaven. And, you know, me as a fan, since I've been supporting Middlesbrough, the closest striker that's come to reaching 20 goals has been Patrick Bamford in the playoff season in 2014-15. So, you know, we don't tend to have goal-scoring strikers. So the fact that we've got one, you know, we're cherishing every moment of it. I remember when he scored against, I think it was against Wigan, he got a hat-trick on Boxing Day. Somebody below me, because I sit in the sort of upper east stand, someone in the east lower was literally bowing. That's how rare it is for Borough fans to enjoy a goal scorer up front. And yeah, as you said, he's not playing as the number nine, he's playing as the number 10, which is even more impressive. And, you know, I think this game will... I'm going to say, I do feel like this will be the game where he does reach 20 in the league. And, you know, he just is a striker that, especially at home anyway, just looks like he's unstoppable. And as I said, we're not used to this. It's sort of like, you know, in some photos, you don't know what to do with your hands. Like, where do I put my hands? Am I putting them in my pocket? Am I putting them like... It's like, what am I to do with myself? We've got a goal-scoring striker. I don't know what to do. It's just weird, but it's brilliant.
Well, if you're Paul Ince, you would bench him, because our goal-scoring striker, Lucas Xiao, is pretty much ousted from the squad. And, well, he's injured now, I think, as well. So, thankfully, that's not your situation with Chubrakpom. But kind of, you mentioned it as well, the home form has been fantastic for Borough under Carrick. The away form under Paul Ince at Reading FC has been woeful, to say the least. I think it's 11 points in 16 for us. Reading's a very frustrating team to watch now, especially away from home. But kind of coming into this game, for fans that are watching and kind of going up, one player to pick to watch, to focus on, who's kind of the man to watch? If I think you'll probably pick Chubrakpom apart from Chubrakpom.
You know what? I'm going to say Riley McGree. I've mentioned him a couple of times. I think he is very influential. And when Riley McGree plays well, Middlesbrough play well. I actually think that in every game that Riley McGree has scored in, Borough have won or not lost. So I think he's a little lucky charm there for us. And he is getting in amongst the goals as well. His shooting isn't his strong point, I will say, but he's getting in amongst the goals anyway. And he's just a very good footballer to watch, you know, very intelligent with his runs, the sort of slick, silky touch. I would probably say Riley McGree, and, you know, operating in those really key areas of football, match between the lines and trying to exploit those key pockets. I think he's one of those players that can do that. And I think he's probably one that is very influential, and I would probably earmark him as one to watch from our perspective.
And he plays on the wing. Was he on the wing or midfield?
Left wing, but comes into a sort of central midfield position.
Right, so Paul Ince, whoever you decide to play at right back, I think it's going to be Yeardham as he comes back. Just mark the bloody shit out of him. Don't
and let Giles.
And mark everyone. Just how hard can it be? Seriously, as a manager, you know. whack on the man mark tactic and just
leave it as that. Park the bus.
Park the bus FC, we seemingly are at the moment. So we'll have to wait and see kind of what comes in the game. So wrapping it up for this week with a prediction from you, Dana. Reading haven't, I'll just pop this stat in here as well. Reading haven't won at the Riverside since 25th of February 2012. That was our playoff winning season, that was our championship winning season. Ian Hart scored a magical free kick with his wand of the left foot.
See, it's always a wonderful effort, isn't it?
It's always that way. We've never had much luck at the Riverside. Will that end this week, do you think?
You know what's going to happen now, Matt? You're going to win. Always happens. But no, you know what? We haven't been beaten in succession. You know, whenever we lose, we bounce back. And I do have confidence that we'll bounce back again. I don't think it's going to be... as big of a gulf between the teams as some people would. I do expect it to be a tight game. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Borough victory, and I will take that.
You're very modest with a 2-1 victory there, because to be honest, I can't see anything other than like a 2 or 3-0 loss, to be honest. That's my, I'll go 2-0. We won't go fully depressing and go 3-0. I'll go 2-0. Yeah, I mean, if you can give us a point, please, 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 because we seemingly need it with an impending points deduction coming. But yeah, no, I can't predict anything else than a 2-0 loss. Sorry, well, Reading fans. I'm talking this up massively, I know, and encouraging everyone to go.
I was going to say, Tom and our podcast went for 4-0, so...
That's more like it. Yeah, you can't not back your team when you're going well. So yeah, I don't begrudge him from 4-0. So it could very easily be. But anyway, thank you so much, Dana, for joining us. Obviously, she's from the Borough Breakdown. If you want to get your fix of obviously Borough content ahead of the game, go over to their Twitter, go listen to their podcast and everything. It's absolutely fantastic. Probably one of the better ones in the championship, or best ones in the championship.
Oh, thank you.
At the moment. So I highly recommend going over there and listen to it. But thank you very much for popping on Dana. And we will catch everyone after the game for a post-match podcast. We'll see you all then.